Well, Phil did a great job of talking about the one who repents and the joys in heaven and the sermons that many of you have heard many times preached on this scripture. But I had to look back and look at the first verses and ask myself, why were the Pharisees and scribes so concerned that Jesus was eating with sinners, with tax collectors, with these people who were in such need? Why were they so worried about that? What was their problem with the sinners and the tax collectors? What was their concern here? What was it that bothered them about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners? Well, I know that the traditional understanding is that the Jews, if they came in contact with people who were not believers, were sometimes felt to be ritually unclean, and so they couldn't participate in stuff in the temple, and so then they had to go through this ritual of cleansing before they could go back in the temple and do their jobs and fulfill their purposes. The Pharisees and scribes were religious leaders of the day. They were the church lawyers. They were the ones who interpreted the laws of Moses and of the Old Testament for the people. They were the preachers of the day as well. They were the ones who copied copies of the Bible. They spent their time writing down those holy words that God had given to Moses on that mountain, writing down those wonderful messages and those histories and those prophecies that were so important to their people. They were devout folks. They were good people. They were caring. They were concerned. They were committed to God. So what was their problem with Jesus eating with sinners? I think they were afraid. I think they were afraid of those sinners, of those tax collectors, of those people who struggled with worldly problems. I think the Pharisees and scribes were afraid they might be contaminated, that they might be tempted, that they might be shown to be less holy than they wanted people to think they were if they associated with folks who weren't part of the temple hierarchy. I think they were worried. I think they were worried about how people would see them. I think they were worried about what people would think. I think they were worried about what people would think of them if they were to associate with these sinners. Are we like that? Do we fear people who are not like us? Are we afraid to touch the unwashed, the dirty, the diseased? Are we afraid to let people in the door who are different from how we are? See, when I was not much older than the young folks here, I watched my grandfather and some of the others, leaders of our church, close and lock the door of our church, because during the 60s, during the civil rights movement, black people came to visit our church and wanted to worship with us. It broke my heart. I couldn't understand how my grandfather, who was the person that I idolized and emulated and loved, and whose example I had followed growing up, who had raised me, who'd been there when I didn't have a dad to raise me, who'd been that person who took me hunting and fishing and did all those things that a dad does, when he showed me that side of himself that could not accept people just because of the colors of their skin. What was he afraid of? Did he think it was going to rub off? We laugh now, but it almost seemed that way. They weren't good enough for our church. They weren't what? They were sinners. They were tax collectors. They were colored people. They were afraid of them. They were afraid to associate with them. Are we afraid to associate with people who don't know God? Is our faith so little, so small, so insignificant that we can't open the door for them? How sad. As much rejoicing as there is in heaven when one sinner repents, how much weeping is there in heaven when one righteous person closes the door to someone who might need them, who might need to understand the love of God, who might need to hear the message of the Scriptures, who might need to be a part of that community, who might need help to become like the righteous people of the church. Some of us weren't always so righteous. I know some of your stories, and we've been out there in the dirt with the sinners. We've done things that we're not proud of. We've been places that we know we shouldn't be. And yet God has chosen to forgive us and given us another life, another opportunity, another chance of being His people. Amen. He does that. He reaches out to those who are struggling. He reaches out to those who are suffering. He reaches out to those who are in need. He speaks His word into their hearts. And sometimes they hear that word and repent. Those sinners who are dirty and unclean and doing unclean things and using unclean language and being unacceptable to us in the church. The people who ran the church didn't want those people because they weren't doing right. They weren't living right. They weren't being what they thought they should be. But in turning them away and being afraid of them, in hiding from them the love that God had given them, the church people were making themselves unworthy. We are God's people. We are His family. We are proud to be His church. We are strong in our beliefs. We are caring in our love. We are good to each other. We worry about Donnie and Judy when their son has cancer. We worry about each other when we're sick. We wonder where we are when we're not here on Sunday. We wonder how we're doing when somebody doesn't come to Bible study. We want to know what's going on. But is it just us? Are we the only ones that matter? I don't think so. Jesus did not choose to only speak to sinners or only speak to churches. He chose to speak to sinners. He did not only speak in the synagogue. He went out on the street. He hung around with fishermen. You know how they are. Man, every time the fish story gets told, it gets bigger and bigger. Might have some fishermen here. He wanted to be in the world. He wanted to deal with worldly people. He wanted to help those who struggled. He wanted to help those who sought Him, even if they weren't worthy. When we start thinking of ourselves as being better than, we're in danger. When we start thinking of ourselves as being holier than, we're in danger. When we start thinking of ourselves as being right, I mean, what does righteous mean but thinking that we're right? We're in danger of closing the door to someone who needs us, of failing to speak to someone who needs to hear His word, of failing to care about someone who needs His love. Where would we be without His word? Where would we be without His love? Where would we be without each other, without this church family? I know many of you have gone through tough times, and the family of the church has been there for you. They've certainly been there for me. It's as a pastor that I can go out and work with folks who I couldn't even have access to without that authority, without that church behind me. And I go in your name as well as His name. Anytime I want to get something done with the authorities, the first thing I say is, I'm the pastor at Bethel United Methodist Church. And things change.
Amen.
They see that I am coming from a position of authority. Not their authority, but His authority. They treat me differently. That's power. That's power in a worldly sense, but there's a whole lot more power than that, because sometimes when I tell people about God and what He has done for me and our church and what the being part of the church does for us, I see something light up behind their eyes. I see something that's touching their hearts. I see something that's changing their minds, and they are moved. They are touched. They are changed. Where would they be if no one came to speak of His love? They'd be alone. Where would we be if no one came to speak of His love? We'd be alone. The shepherd goes looking for the lost sheep. The woman lights a lamp, even at night, and cleans her house to see if she can find that lost coin. The one that was lost is precious to us. The prodigal son comes home and the father rejoices. Even though he has spent his inheritance in worldly and sinful places, the father rejoices. Because as long as there is breath, there is hope. No matter where we've been, what we've done, who we are, we can be changed. We can change. We can choose to take the right path instead of the wrong path. We can choose God instead of the world. We can choose to do better. And who are we to turn away? Someone who is reaching out. I don't want to be that person who turns away someone who is honestly reaching out. Now, some people will take advantage of that. And I believe somewhere it says that taking the name of God in vain, in vanity, in self-serving ways is an unpardonable sin. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the person who honestly wants to change, who honestly is trying to do better, who honestly is willing to be there to do that. The shepherd doesn't go off looking for the 101st sheep. No, he goes looking for the one of his own that's become lost. The woman doesn't clean the house just to see if there might be a coin left from one of her visitors. No, she knows that she had that coin and it's gone away. God has said that each and every one of those folks out there who are struggling in the world without Him have the potential to be His children. But just like the sign says, we become His children with faith in Jesus Christ. We are His children, but without faith, without Christ, without love, without God, We cease to have that connection. We cease to have that forgiveness. We cease to be part of that hundred. And we become just another one lost, wandering in the wilderness. They were afraid. The scribes and Pharisees who worked in the church, who lived in the church, who were part of the church, whose whole life was committed to the church, they were afraid of the people outside the church. They might get dirty. They might be soiled. They might be tempted. They might not be quite as holy as they thought they were. Are we afraid?
Sure we are.
It's scary. It's safe in here. It's scary out there. But that's why we reach out. It's because it is a scary world out there. And there are some who are reaching out to us. There are some who won't. They've chosen to go another way. Can't stop them. But we can be here. We can have our hand out. We can have our doors open. We can do what we can to give them another opportunity. I spent some years working ambulance service, and it was a really hard thing for me to come to understand that no matter how good a job I did as a paramedic, some people were going to die, and others were going to live. And sometimes we didn't do a very good job. It seemed like everything went wrong and the person lived anyway. I had to figure out pretty quick there that I was not the one making the decision who was going to live and die. I was only the one who maybe gave some folks another chance that they would not have had I not shown up with that orange and white truck. Or Don had not shown up on the back of that big red truck with the hoses and the pump. Or Stan had not shown up with his police car and maintained the law. We tried to help people in worldly ways. The church tries to help people in spiritual ways. It is that eternal life that we seek to save. It is that eternal life that we seek to grow. It's that eternal love and peace that we seek to be a part of. Let's not be afraid like the Pharisees. Let's be like that shepherd who's willing to go out of his way to find the one that was lost. Amen?
Amen.